So I want us to take up the thinking. And this was going to be my first point of three major points and going through three chapters in 2 Thessalonians. But because I ended up with five subpoints, I'll make that the sermon today. And we will just stick with chapter one. But the theme is this. It will be worth it when the Lord returns. You know that hymn, "It shall be worth it all when we see Jesus." It's true. It's absolutely true. And I have five becauses in this passage here. Verse 4 here, we know it will be worth it because we see here that Christians were commended. Those enduring, those that were exercising patience. And I want to go through this verse 4 here and just look at what exactly these people were doing and bearing. This Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, and today we're turning to 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to be looking at the great command to remember the Lord until He comes. And as mentioned before in our previous programs, that in each chapter of Thessalonians, both 1 Thessalonians and the second epistle, the Lord's coming is mentioned in every chapter. Let's read here together in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So after reading the scriptures here, we're going to move to our pulpit ministry on this message. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, on the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we're still dealing with the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And in these chapters of Thessalonians, the theme of the Lord's second coming is right through all of these books and each and every chapter. And today I think we will really just take time for chapter one. The marathon is good if you just want to do an overview and an introduction to things and then go back and do a thorough study of it. So maybe we will just restrict our thoughts and our study today to the opening chapter and to the remarks of the Savior's coming on this. Now, the second coming, obviously, is a very vital part of Christianity. It's also a very vital part of the communion table. This do in remembrance of him till he come. And we are literally practicing waiting on God's Son. That's our Christianity. We've learned that in 1 Thessalonians 1. We are waiting for his Son. And whatever years God gives us in this world, we spend waiting, preparing, and building ourselves up for that day when the Lord of glory will come. And so it's important that we do so with full knowledge and with expectation that the Lord Jesus is really going to come. And maybe I should ask you at the outset, how many people really believe this? That Jesus is coming again? Do you really live it and enjoy the sweetness of the hope that is the believers that Christ will come? And this world is not drudgery. It's not just a treadmill and then you fall off the end into oblivion. No, this world is our opportunity to live for Jesus until he returns again. And that hope needs to be built into all of our hearts. And if the Lord is not returning, then we're all just fools. You know, we should be out there playing golf and doing all the things that the worldly do. They're right and we're wrong if the Lord is not coming again. But as we are convinced, not just because my mom said so or my dad said so, but because this is the essential piece in the puzzle of Christianity. This is a building block that's essential. Jesus must come because he made the promises and he built everything around one day presenting his church to the Father, spotless, without blemish. And the Lord Jesus will reap the harvest of his sufferings and his death. The cross makes no sense if one day the church is not going to be presented right into the presence of the Father. Now, this church at Thessalonica, in many ways, was an absolute marvel. It was a church that came through fireworks for God, a church that stood the test of horrible persecutions, mockeries, and the disdain of men. And sometimes that's the hardest form of persecution, mockery of men, to be laughed at. My morning devotional today was on that very subject of how the Lord Jesus bore the mockery of men, the laughter and the scorn. And sometimes that's harder than someone sticking a sword through you. It's harder than blood just to be mocked and laughed at. Teenagers, you know how sensitive you might be to that at school. And nobody wants to be looked upon as the fool. Well, in reality, the world looks upon us as fools for Jesus' sake. But we wear that badge proudly. We do not take offense when we are told that you're a fool, but rather we rejoice that we are counted worthy to bear shame for Jesus' name. Now, I want you to notice in verse 3, in the beginning of verse 4, that Paul was writing here with a sense of relief. And he said, "For we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory." And that word glory simply means boast. We can set you forth as a model. And we have every reason to tell others about what's happening in your church. This was a model church at Thessalonica. Now, if you were to take time to read Acts 17, you will get the history of church planting days in Thessalonica, and how Paul and Silas arrived there and they went into the synagogues for three Sabbaths. And Paul preached the gospel that Jesus is the Christ in the synagogue. And the surprising thing is that the believers were not Jews, the converts were Greeks and notable women. The Jews did not believe. They hardened their hearts, they rejected the message, and they caused, well, they brought in the bully boys, you know, the Hell's Angels of the society, the tough guys and the bikers of this world. They brought them in to cause an uproar in the city. And they made false accusations that this man Paul was preaching about another king, a king ostensibly against Caesar. That was all a lie. Paul did no such thing. He preached about a king from heaven who came to set up a spiritual kingdom and build a church that he would present to his Father. And of course, they Well, Paul and Silas fled. And some of those Jews followed after, went to Berea in hot pursuit. But there were Christians who remained in Thessalonica, those converts, and they built their lives in that city, in that hostility, and they built their church in the midst of it. And they persevered. And you'll pick up on this as Paul commends these people and he says to them, you're a model church. There's reason to boast of your steadfastness. And I think you'll get that right here in verse 4. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God. For what reason? For your patience, your consistency, your keeping on attitude. Don't you just love people like that? Don't you want a pastor like that? Don't you want elders like that? Don't you want a Sunday school teacher like that who will keep on keeping on? And just because nobody turns up for a Sunday, they don't quit. They're still there the next week. They keep on keeping on. Every Christian should have the attitude of patience and faith. In all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Now notice at the end of that verse 4 that it wasn't over. It didn't get any better just because they got through the first year or two. No. The hatred, the animosity, the mockery, the jeering of the world was hard to bear, but they bore it. They endured, and they went through it. Now, the hope of the second coming now becomes very precious to these tried believers. And I want you to notice a key word in verse 6, when Paul now begins to talk about Christ returning. And he says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense. Recompense. That simply means to repay, to dole out due desert, to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Simply put, Paul was saying, no man's going to be a loser. And everything that you have lost, everything that you have endured as a Christian, God will repay. He will recompense. And there is a payday someday. And that's what he is saying here, and he's linking it to the return of the Lord Jesus. And in verse 7, he gets right into this, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. I would say to you, I'll take my cue from the Apostle Paul, and I'll say to you, my fellow brothers and sisters here, whatever you're going through as a Christian, there is a day of recompense, a day when the God of heaven will intervene to put right the injustice, put right the pain, the heartache, when he will reward you for enduring and bearing hardship, and brushing off the scorn of the world. And I major on that because that's really the kind of persecution you're most likely to face. I have great sympathy for the person who will go home from church, and there will be awaiting you at home maybe a sneering attitude. Well, how did church go today? And you just know it's not really a deep interest. It's an opportunity to cut it down. That's hard. Or the young person who comes to the Lord Jesus and parents are mightily upset. I remember the testimony of Kuldeep Gangar, who was converted from Sikhism. What he bore from his parents is horrible. They became Christians later, mind you. And that man had a tremendous testimony from the early days, and his siblings became Christians, and I know his father became a Christian. The very man who beat him because he had dared to give up Sikhism to become a Christian. And these are hard things for a Christian to bear. And they're not restricted to the first century. They are around us today, even in Canada, and I'm sure even among some in this congregation right here this morning. And so this epistle of 2 Thessalonians is to direct hearts to this great hope that the Lord will put everything right, and he will recompense whatever it's costing you to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And as we participate in this communion today, we participate in something that gives us hope. It's not just a remembering a victory of the past, we're remembering what really is the victory of the future as well, that the Lord is coming again, and if I'm believing in Him and washed in His blood, that He's coming for me, and He's going to receive me unto Himself. And that recompense is going to apply to me, and I'm going to receive rewards for being earnest, persevering, patient, enduring in the cause of the Lord Jesus. And so this epistle comes right down to where you are living as a Christian. Now, there are some here today, and you're new Christians. You have recently trusted the Lord Jesus. And the devil will come along and say, well, you shouldn't have. You've made a fool of yourself, and now you can't win, because if you go back, you're a fool, and if you go forward, you're a fool, and you'll feel trapped. Do you know what it's like to feel trapped as a Christian? Trapped in the profession you've made, but the hardship is horrible, and you feel you can't win. Well, I want you to reset your thinking today. I want you to know that in the hope of the gospel, which is not just looking backwards to the cross, but looking forward to that day when Christ shall appear in the clouds, and when He comes in the brightness of His glory, it will be well for God's people. So I want us to take up the thinking. And this was going to be my first point of three major points, going through three chapters in 2 Thessalonians. But because I ended up with five subpoints, I'll make that the sermon today. And we will just stick with chapter one. But the theme is this: it will be worth it when the Lord returns. You know that hymn, "It shall be worth it all when we see Jesus." It's true. It's absolutely true. And I have five becauses in this passage here. Verse 4 here, we know it will be worth it because we see here that Christians were commended. Those enduring, those that were exercising patience. And I want to go through this verse 4 here and just look at what exactly these people were doing and bearing. This model church. And I wish that it could be said of our congregation, those Free Presbyterians that meet at 188 Street and 58 Avenue in Cloverdale. They are a model people who bear patience. They show their faith. They endure. Now let's look at these words in verse 4 here firstly. You understand that a lot of preaching is word study. Preaching's all about words. The Bible's all about words. The Bible is verbally inspired, and we believe that each word is God-breathed and God-given. And so when we get right down to where people were at and what it meant for them to live for God, we look at the words that were there to describe that very Christian life. You'll notice in verse 4, so we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God. You'll see how they were a group of churches. It wasn't just one isolated church living to itself. This group of believers, their word, their testimony, was making an impact. And they were becoming encouragers. And they were able to tell the story which rejoiced God's people everywhere in the churches of God. For your patience. And patience simply means patient continuance. Now, when you go to the doctor's office and you're a patient, you wonder, does that mean you sit in the corner for an hour? Or are you a client that the doctor considers for help? You do need a lot of patience these days when you go for a medical appointment. You could sit for hours, and you need patience to wait it out. But patience here is that enduring, continuing. They made a profession. Jesus is the Christ. We have discovered who the Messiah is. And the Jews who should have made that discovery
because they had all the history and the heritage, the oracles of God and the Old Testament. But the Greeks and those notable women that were mentioned in Acts 17, they made a profession. And when the Jews drove Paul and Silas out and found in Berea and went after them, these Christians continued on, persevered. They didn't go back and say, well, that was a dumb idea to think that Jesus was the Christ. No, that now was their profession which they held to. You'll notice that there is reference here to their patience and faith. Faith. They believed Jesus is the Christ. Do you? Have you made it known that Jesus is your Savior? That He's the one that can save you from your sins and make you a child of God and bring you one day to glory? Then you are called to continue in that. The next word in this passage is the word endure, and literally means to hold yourself up. Hold yourself up. Brace yourself in the midst of the storm. I remember as a boy on the farm, we were kind of in rolling countryside. There were hilly fields and so on. And there were certain areas where the wind would catch and the wind would be strong. And you could lean into the wind. You could just fall right into the wind and it would blow you back or hold you up. That's what this word here means, to endure. In spite of the blast, in spite of the opposition, to stand fast, lean into it. In a sense, embrace it as part of being a Christian. Just don't run away from it and say, that's not for me. You know, that changes everything, you know. That changes your attitude. It changes your expectation. It changes your testimony. When you are actually when someone says, you know, did you hear about the gospel today again? What are you going to say in response? Embrace it and say, do you know what we did? And it fixed my heart and it blessed my soul. There is a Christian's response to the mockery, the scorn of the ungodly. And that's how these Christians kept on. They endured.
I dream that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dream that the nations had gathered to a judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel that stood on the land and the sea, and swore with his hand raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. And oh, what a weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. A rich man was there, but his money had melted and vanished away. A pauper he stood in the judgment, his debts were too heavy to pay. A great man was there, but his greatness, when death came, was left far behind. The angel that opened the records, not a trace of his greatness could find. And oh, what a weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. man came to the judgment, but his self-righteous rags would not do. The man who had crucified Jesus had passed off as moral man too. The soul that had put off salvation, but tonight I get saved by and by. More time now to think of religion. At last they had found time to die. And oh, what a weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late.
Well, we're coming to the end of our program here, and I trust the Lord has spoken to your heart about the great need to be ready for that judgment day when the Lord Jesus descends. He will come in his glory to gather his people, but he will also come to destroy the wicked. And you need to be ready, my friend. You need to be trusting in the Lord Jesus. You need to surrender your all at the foot of the cross and come as a sinner for cleansing in Jesus' precious blood. If I can be of personal help, please feel free to give me a call, send me an email, or be in touch through our website. The announcements are coming up, and we invite you to stay and jot down the details. And I trust that God in grace has met with your soul today and will bless you through the gospel of his dear Son.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.